And aloha. Welcome to Talk Story. Talk Story is the longest running talk show on Maui. Been 27 years, and the last couple years, I've been honored to be able to talk about Burns Night, Robert Burns Night, a uniquely celebrated thing here on Maui, although, of course, in Scotland, it is massively huge. And we've been learning a lot about it, and I'm honored to have in the studio Roger McKinley. And you might know Roger as the Mad Bagpiper. If you've ever been up to Fleetwood at around sunset time, you've seen him play his bagpipes up there. I've seen him many times play on the roof, and it's always a treat because Roger is a bagpiper that thinks outside the box.
Outside the bag.
Outside the bag. You know, you just do anything with any. You know, you love it. You're like the Jake Shimabukuro of bagpipes.
Well, thank you. That's high praise.
and it's so much fun. And again, I did go. I don't know if it was last year or the year before I went to the Robert Burns Night celebration, which is happening tomorrow night at Fleetwood's, and it is actually on his actual birthday. That's right. The 25th.
Right.
And I've been doing some more reading up about it, and I mean, if you're born here, you know, or in Hawaii, you have no idea how big Robert Burns is in Scotland. You were born in Ireland or Scotland?
I was actually born in neither. I was born in Richmond in Virginia. And at 10 months old, my family moved back to the UK and back to Scotland. So I'm half a half. My passports are Yank and UK. So I have dual passports.
But you grew up there. Where in Scotland?
A little place called Cullen, which is a village at the beginning of Loch Tay in... when I was a kid, it was Perthshire. The council's changed now. It's Stirlingshire, but we're about an hour and a half north of Stirling.
So it's not the Highlands, is it?
Highlands. South Central Highlands. Actually, the old name for that area is Breadalbin, which means the centre of Scotland.
Ah.
I've been here too long. And you don't put the T in Scotland. It's Scotland.
Scotland? No, I didn't know. You don't say T?
Well, no, it's a dialectic difference, especially
Scotland,
the West.
Without the D in the end, to Scotland?
Scotland, yeah.
Scotland. It's a, softer.
It's
Scotland.
I think that's more of a West dialect. There's different dialects depending on where you come from in Scotland. The Aberdonians sound different than Arbroath, sound different than Edinburgh, sound different than Glasgow. So
in Scotland, you were raised with this image of Robert Burns as a true hero, right?
It was just part of growing up, I think. Matter of fact, the very first tune that I learned as a bagpiper was a tune called Scots Wehe. The tune itself is actually quite old. There's some discussion about whether it was actually played at the Battle of Bannockburn in the 1300s. But Robert Burns, being an amazing poem writer as well as a lyricist, he wrote a song. And the song and that particular tune was the first one that was required for all pipers when I was a kid. It's not the easiest tune to learn on the bagpipes, but it's important enough that they thought that's a good first challenge.
Well, how old were you when you first picked up the pipes?
Normally one's about 11 years old, but I wasn't. I came to it late. I was almost 18 by the time I came to it.
Uh-huh.
So,
and you learned that song?
Yeah, that was my first tune. The first one I had to learn.
Can you hum it without your bagpipes or say the words?
I'll say the words. Okay. I have no problem doing the words. I'm not going to sing unless I have whiskey in me anyways. But all right. Scots Wehe, Wee Wallace. But, oh, by the way, you should know this song is about William Wallace and Robert Bruce. And actually, Wallace already died by the time that the Battle of Bannockburn happened. But it's about that period. So any of you that's seen Braveheart, the movie Braveheart, this is basically about that same period, written by Robert Burns. All right, let's go again. Scots Wehe, Wee Wallace bled. Scots Wan Bruce has often led. Lee, welcome to our gory bed or to victory. Now's the day and now's the hour. See the front, O battle lower. See approach proud Edward's power, chains and slavery. Wall can be a traitor's knave. Wall can fill a coward's grave. Wall say base as be a slave. Let him turn and flee. What for Scotland's king and law? Freedom's sword will strongly draw. Free man stand or free man fall, let him follow me. By oppressors' woes and pains, by your sons in servile chains, we will drain our dearest veins, but they shall be free.
Powerful.
Yeah, it's a bit doer. The song that goes with it, the tune is a bit doer, but it's a great first challenge.
Well, people have to remember the pipes were used in battle. They were actually a tool.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, that would actually intimidate.
At the front of the battle as well. Yeah. All the way through World War I. So you got these dafties out the front, all the way through. The Germans referred to the Scottish Regimental Soldiers as women from hell, because we wore the kilt as part of regimental uniform, and you'd have the piper up standing above the lines, the battle lines playing. It didn't do very well for the amount of pipers left afterwards.
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty bad job.
Yeah, they pulled them back after that. But in the beginning, yeah, we were right up front.
Oof. Well, what's going to be happening at Fleetwood's tomorrow? Because I know it's going to be, it's a huge celebration, and it does involve a lot of drinking.
It does.
It does.
As
and
traditional.
And poetry reading and bagpiping.
Well, you know, the thing is, I've been involved one way or the other for over 10 years in organizing Burns Nights here in Maui. And I wanted to do something a bit different this year, which is we always drink plenty of whiskey, which is fair. That's what you're supposed to do. There's like a 7 toast usually, which means that...
7 toasts of whiskey could under. I'd be under at 2.
Yeah, it's easy for anybody who's not used to drinking whiskey to get skew if that way. But the point is, we're going to have a proper whiskey tasting as part of our event. So not only will we do the address to the haggis, we'll pipe in the haggis. We have two lovely fiddlers, amazing fiddlers, actually. Ronan Langren's going to be doing the address to the haggis as well. And we have Sue Westcott from Soul Kitchen as well. So it's going to be me on small pipes, and I'll be bouncing back and forth between doing the music and to help facilitate the whole Burns Night. But more importantly, probably in the big scale of things, we're going to do a proper whiskey tasting event. So we'll start in the lowlands, which is where Robert Burns came from, from Ayrshire. Mm-hmm. So we have Auchintoshan as the first whiskey, and then we'll work our way around the different regions of Scotland.
Wow.
You'll learn about what the different single malts are, and we'll even talk about pairing food with a proper whiskey. And
I didn't know you paired food with whiskey.
Oh, absolutely. Some
I had no idea. I mean, of course I know about wine, but I didn't know there were whiskey pairings.
Well, it's the same thing. The flavor profiles are quite dynamic, depending on what parts of the Scotland it comes from. There are regional differences, and there's also some regions that are very distinctive. For example, Islay malts are smoky, except for Brucklady. They're all generally smoky or peaty whiskies in varying degrees. And you go to Speyside, which is where the majority of distilleries are, Macallan's and Craigenlackey and Balvenie and the like. Those all tend to have a certain general profile, even though there's wonderful changes that happen depending on what they're aged in. So, for example, most Speysides don't taste terribly good if you're doing it with oysters on the half shell. They don't pair nicely in the same way that certain wines just... They clash with the flavor profiles.
Uh-huh.
A haggis, for example,
got meat, and it's made in the sheepskin. If people know, haggis is a part of this. It's a very important part. I don't even know how that happened, but haggis is part of celebrating Robert Burns.
I think it was a desperate attempt by the Scots in the old days to not waste anything. So they would take the bits and pieces that were you could make mutton out of or whatever, and they take what's called the offal, which is heart, liver, kidney. Sounds awful, too.
It does.
Different spelling, but basically they would use that and they'd make a spicy hash, put it in a sheep's stomach, and boil it until it was actually quite good. And it is. It's a very rich meal. But you want something that has a kind of a spicy finish on it. So Talisker's 10, a nice island whiskey, is quite nice. If you do an oysters on the half shell, for example, you'd want an Islay malt. Like Laphroaig, which is very smoky and peaty and almost seaweedy, is a perfect... pairing with oysters on a half shell. It actually brings the sweetness out of the oyster, which can be a very subtle flavor.
So it's a more subtle malt, the one that goes
actually,
with the...
Actually, no. Surprisingly opposite. It's not subtle at all. Laphroaig is probably one of the chewiest of all the single malts. Why? It sits right next to the ocean. They use a great deal of peat smoke to dry the barley before the fermentation, and they do it at a lower temperature, but, you know, about... 20 degrees Celsius or 30 degrees Celsius, so that it holds all that smoke onto the barley after it's been malted, and then they dry it and then make whiskey out of it. So it
you know so flavor. Much about this, Roger. If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Roger McKinley. He's going to be obviously there in full regalia, celebrating Robert Burns' birthday tomorrow night at Fleetwood's. By the way, you definitely should call and make reservations.
Absolutely.
Because this does sell out. I've been there before, and it sells out. You call 669-MICK, 669-MICK, because this is kind of a unique thing. If you want the number, I usually don't go by letters anymore. It's 669-6425-6425. And this is such a great event there. I mean, having gone before, it's not just drinking, though.
No.
I mean, you are going to have poetry reading.
Right. And you should know Robert Burns is not just an excuse, like, to be Scottish, as it were, for expats especially. around the world, it's a great opportunity to say, hey, this is my background. But it's not about that. I mean, the man was he's one of the founders of the Romantic movement. He was influential enough that John Steinbeck of Mice and Men is actually written after one of the poems of Robert Burns called Ode to a Wee Mousie. And Bob Dylan said that he was the one single most influential literary figure in his past. And his song, My Love's a Red Rose, is directly from one of the poems by Robert Burns.
And on top of that, I mean, many people may not know the song Everyone Sings at New Year's Eve is a Robert Burns.
Right, Auld Lang Syne.
Is a classic.
So if you wondered why you had no clue what it meant, except for the fact it's a warm fuzzy because it's a beautiful tune, mm-hmm. it's because it's in Scots English. And that was the other thing that Robert Burns is famous for. He wrote in the vernacular. So in a time when everybody is trying to raise themselves up and use the cleanest, most proper English, he chose to write his poems and his songs in Scots English, which is basically the equivalent of, Scottish pidgin.
And that was another reason he's so honored as well in Scotland, because he was keeping that tradition alive. I mean, he wrote hundreds and hundreds of poems and songs.
I mean,
the volume that he wrote is amazing. He died fairly young,
37.
Too.
He was died at 37.
At 37. Very good looking, charming looking.
Yeah, he did well.
Man.
Yeah, that's probably why he managed to have 12 children, even though he died at 37.
Oh, I was reading in Wikipedia about his different wives and kids, and not always married. And
no, he had three children with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
The rest were dalliances.
So he was quite a character. I don't know if there's ever been a movie about him. It'd be interesting.
I don't think so.
Wouldn't it be interesting to see a movie about
that
his life?
Yeah.
You could play him.
No, I don't think
so.
No,
okay. You couldn't.
I'll stick the
pipes.
Well,
you could play the pipes.
I'll do that. Yeah.
You could play the pipes with him. And so this is it's quite a night. You do get a chance to taste haggis.
Oh, yes, if you wish.
If you wish. You certainly will get the tastings of. Now, where did the name Scotch come from? Scotch?
Scotch just refers to, we say, well, in Scotland you say whiskey because we're just assuming you're saying Scotch. But a Scotch is a specific kind of whiskey that is made in Scotland according to the standards that's required, including it has to be aged at least 3 years in order to be called a Scotch. It has to be made in Scotland. It has to be only have two primary ingredients to be called a single malt, which is basically barley and water. Right.
Really?
All the other flavors that come into whiskies happen to do with what happens in the process of drying the barley after it's malted and what it sits in for its aging process, which directly affects the flavor of the whiskey itself.
Well, you're kind of an expert on this, aren't you?
It's a labor of love. I am going on with my master whiskey certification.
Seriously?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been doing this. I've been on whiskey tastings for years, but I've never done it as anything other than sharing the passion. It's been in the family for generations. Matter of fact, one of the very minor...
Is that kind of like a sommelier of whiskey?
That is exactly what it is, yeah. Except it's specifically for whiskey.
That's amazing.
My great-great-great uncle was standing next to Mr. Dewar in Aberfeldy when he bottled the first of the... what became famous as the Dewar's blend labels. And actually, until when I was a kid, you couldn't get Aberfeldy outside of Aberfeldy. It wasn't really sold often as a single malt. Almost all the production went into the blends. And it's only recently, since single malts have come into their own, the tastes of the consumer have changed that you can. And now, much to my surprise, you can get Aberfeldy at Tamora's in Cahaluy. So it's a great opportunity for people that are interested in having a good Scotch. They can do so for relatively accessible prices, depending on what you like.
Or tomorrow.
That's right.
How many? Five. Seven?
There's seven. We're going to offer seven whiskies to walk through the six regions, and also to talk about how differently the whiskey will taste depending on how it's aged, and what it's aged in.
You might need to Uber back by the time.
Absolutely, we are. You don't have to do full measures. We do half measures too, so we have that sorted. So you don't have to get totally useless and still have a good time.
But it is a good time, and it's very unique, and it's amazing. And I think, obviously, you're a part of this being a unique thing. I mean, everyone likes to celebrate St. Patrick's Day on the 17th of March, but not a lot of people celebrate Burns Night, especially it's strange that it's here, and I guess now that you're kind of the reason that it's celebrated so well.
Well, there's a number of us. There's a surprisingly large, quote-unquote, Celtic community on the island,
mm-hmm.
and some families in particular have done a great deal to try to make sure that their family is still inculcated and learned for the next generation. The Ashers, for one thing, comes in mind. They're a brilliant family. The young Asher Ennish is literally a prodigy. He's like 14 years old, and he's starting to compete at the highest levels in piping in the world.
Really?
His sister has learned Highland dancing. And the Ashes even brought in someone to learn the Gaelic, which is the original Scottish language. So we have this in Maui. It's a strange place. Maui's that way anyway. But yeah, there's actually three different Burns nights going on in Hawaii.
Mulligan's here is doing one tonight.
Right. And then there's another one for a kind of a private group that's up in Kula.
What's a private group?
It's a private group.
Private group. Yeah, I thought that was group. A kind of Scottish group.
No. and then we're doing it. Again, we are going to have music. And we've chosen tunes that are not only Scottish, true Scottish, as opposed to Irish and other contemporaries. And those tunes will be chosen in order of also where we're going to be as far as the whiskey. So when we get to Talisker's in the Isle of Skye, we'll do the Skye Boat song and some lovely reels and jigs. Not jigs. I don't think we'll do any jigs tomorrow. but we'll definitely do some strathspeys and some reels and some hornpipes and the like. And then lovely fiddling as well as small pipes and the proper haggis. So it'll be good fun. It's only going to be 2 hours tomorrow. So
starts early. Yeah, like 5 to 7.
Yeah, and I'll start the 101, Whiskey 101, promptly at 5. So definitely want to get your reservations.
I don't know if Mick is on Island or he's going to be there.
I don't know if he is or not. I'm pretty sure he's been invited to at least two of them.
Yeah, well, I know he's got his beautiful, when he dresses in his Scottish kilt and his tartan colour, it's pretty impressive.
And what's also impressive is his tartan is an unusual one. His family's a small family. And when he wanted that done, he actually had to have a mill run done of that material to make it in the family colours. Wow. And then, of course, in his typical generous fashion, he gave out sashes and stuff to other members of the family and had kilts made. Wow. For those that wanted it. So it's not one you see in a lot of the common books. He's not.
Very impressive.
He's a unique man, so why wouldn't he have a unique tartan?
You got your kilts?
Of course.
And you're going to be in kilts tomorrow?
Of course.
Okay.
That's an obligation.
Worth going just there.
Yeah, I will.
It's 669 Mick. Do call, because it's tomorrow, and it's definitely going to sell out. 5 to 7. And it's a night you'll remember. Yeah. It really is a night to remember.
Well, it depends entirely on how much whiskey you've consumed.
Well, then again, you might not. But if you have someone videotaping it, they'll remember.
Yeah, what happens at Fleetwood's stays on YouTube.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. It's really a treat to see you, Roger.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and it's a treat. And I have to say, we've got the St. Anthony's School is going to have their open house. And it's nice to have here. With me, the lady named Betsy
Gunderson.
Let me get you close to that microphone there, Betsy Gunderson. She obviously must know something about Scotch, good Scotch or whiskey, because she's been nodding her head at everything you said. Either that, or she knows about what it's really like to celebrate Robert Burns, or is Robert Burns an aficionado? I can tell, right?
Well, I have a little bit of Scotch in my background, so.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's how you know about it, right?
Yeah.
Do you celebrate Robert Burns' birthday?
No, I have never.
Oh, you're going to have to go.
I will, absolutely.
You really should go. You'll have a good time.
Yeah, I was watching on the Food Channel one time with my son, all about Scotch whiskey.
Nice.
So then I'm going, yes. It sounds wonderful.
It's funny. Just one little useless trivia, that even the name whiskey is actually originally from the Gaelic language.
I didn't know that.
The original pronunciation was Iscabeg, which means the water of life.
Oh, really?
And then it became more and more Anglophiled until it would be a W sound at the front, and it's whiskey now. But the term Iscabeg is the water of life. And they think, ironically, it was the young monks that brought it when they brought Christianity into Ireland and Scotland.
Well,
they
there you go.
The
there's enough reason
there you
for
go.
You.
The Catholic schools. Okay. Yeah. The spirit working.
Yeah, exactly. Both definitions.
So to speak.
I like that. Spirit working the spirit.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
It
now
does,
we know
yeah.
where it comes from.
Absolutely. No.
Water of life, after all.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Roger. It's
thank
so
you.
Great to see you. And Betsy Gunderson is the head of school at St. Anthony's School, which has an amazing history itself. It's been around for, 130 years?
No, 160-something.
Is it 160?
Yes, it is, yes.
Wow. Let me get you in close to that microphone.
Yeah, this is loud.
Oh, yep. Okay, I'll turn that down
okay.
for you, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, no.